Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
You were always unselfish and sacrificed everything you risked to change life. Even when there was darkness, you broke the shackles and brought light. You called everyone to believe in Allah. Oh Muhammad, you are my hero. You smiled with serenity, and how you forgave all your enemies. I will always hold your love and all your teachings in my heart. You called everyone to believe in Allah. Oh Muhammad, you are my hero. Keep you safe in my heart. You are my hero till the end and from the very start. You are my hero and you'll always be the best part of every single day. I will follow you. You are my hero and I'll keep you safe in my heart. You are my hero till the end and from the very start. You are my hero and you'll always be the best part of every single day. I will follow you.
من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. Today is Saturday, November 9, 2024, corresponding to the 7th of Jumada al-Ula, 1446 AH. It's the 5th month of the Hijra calendar, that is Jumada al-Ula, 1446 AH. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has brought us thus far. Alright, so on the program Everyday Muslim, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Today, inshallah, shall be discussing something very, very important. But before then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted, said in the Glorious Quran, "Indeed, Allah was pleased with the believers when they gave the pledge to you, O Muhammad, under the tree. He knew what was in their hearts, and he sent down a sakina, that is calmness and tranquility upon them, and he rewarded them with a near victory." Find that verse of the Quran in Quran chapter 48, Surah Al-Fatih, verse 18. Allah also says, "Muhammad, is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are severe against the disbelievers and merciful among themselves. You see them bowing and falling down prostrate in prayer, seeking bounty from Allah and his good pleasure. The mark on their faith is on their faces from the traces of prostration during prayers. This is their description in the Torah and the description in the Gospel, that is the Injil, which is like a sown seed which sends forth its shoots, then makes it strong and becomes thick, and it stands straight on its stem, delighting the sowers that he may enrage the disbelievers with them. Allah has promised those among them who believe and do righteous good deeds forgiveness and a mighty reward, which is paradise. You also find that in Quran chapter 48, verse 29. Today, inshallah, we shall be taking a journey, a cursory look at Islamic heroes from Africa, Bilal Ibn Rabah, specifically Bilal Ibn Rabah. Bilal Ibn Rabah is a black man, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who happened to be one of our heroes in faith and one of the heroes that ever emerged from the continent of Africa. And that is why you can't ever talk about Islam and you want to probably discountenance the contributions of these heroes, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically talking about Bilal Ibn Rabah. So today, inshallah, I'll be taking a look at Islamic heroes from Africa with a focus on Bilal Ibn Rabah. And our guest discussant is Imam Abu Labiba Tawfiq Busari. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, akhi.
All right. So, for those of us who probably might be listening to the program for the first time, and you probably might be meeting Imam Abu Labiba Tawfiq Busari for the first time, he is an Imam and Director of Darul Sa'ada Islamic Center in Otago State. He is a Quran tutor of the University, Crescent University, Abeokuta, Ogun State. So, Imam, you're welcome again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. So, for a start, Imam, Bilal, as one of the companions of the Prophet, is celebrated for his resilience and unshakable faith. Can you share a story from his life that demonstrates his strength and devotion to Islam in the face of intense adversity? At least for people, they might not know what Bilal has done and what makes him so unique and celebrated in Islam.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. All praises be to Allah. We beseech his blessings upon the noblest of mankind, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, his household, his companions, and all those that tread his path to the day of reckoning. May Allah show his pleasure and mercy upon the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They really sacrificed a lot for you and I to call ourselves Muslims today. It was a great sacrifice from them, and one of the great sacrifices came from Bilal ibn Rabah. Bilal ibn Rabah was a slave of Umayyad, one of the prominent people in Mecca, the Quraysh people. And not going deep into his history, how they were captured as a slave and thereabout. When Bilal heard about the message of Islam, which came with a message of oneness of God, no multitude in worship of God, and also Islam came with an with abolishing oppression. Islam came with the message of equity amongst the poor and the rich, the black and the white and the Arabs, no discrimination, which was something he had been looking forward to, looking up to for several years now. So when he heard about the message of Al-Islam from the Prophet, someone known to be very truthful, Then he believed in the message. He was part of the early people that accepted Islam, but he met a whole lot of persecution, frustration from his master. When Bilal, when his acceptance of Islam was known to his master, the master dealt with him seriously and did all he could to make Bilal stop the practice of Al-Islam. But Bilal stood firm. He showed very strong resilience during that period, which was a very tough, trying time for him. Apart from the act of throwing him into the midst of nuisance thugs in Mecca, telling them that if I will be him, do whatever you like with him.
Wow.
Just do whatever you like. Treat him anyhow, which they did to Bilal. Still, he didn't renounce Islam. He didn't say he would not practice Islam anymore. At a point, they were dragging Bilal on the streets of Mecca. His blood was painting the streets of Mecca all around. He would, he would faint, lose consciousness. Then after some hours, gain consciousness again. They would keep dragging him around the streets of Mecca. Still, he did not change his words. They were telling him to say that Uzza, Manat are gods. Those are their idols. He insisted on saying Allahu Ahad. Allah is one. There was this particular time he was taken to the desert and was beaten seriously. The entire back got damaged. His entire body got damaged. Laying down there in the scorching sun of the desert, he was seriously dealt with.
Dear body.
After beating him, then they laid that bleeding back of his, injured back, they placed it on the hot sun, the hot sand. The back was placed on it, and a rock, very heavy rock, hot rock in the sun, was rolled up, couldn't be carried by anybody. They rolled it up and rolled it on top of the chest of Bilal. And Bilal kept saying, Allahu Ahad, Allah is one. Allahu Ahad, Allah is one. At a point, he lost strength. He couldn't say those two words as short as they were, as they are. He couldn't say them. And he shortened it to Ahad, oneness. Ahad, oneness. Ahad. They would go close to him because he was no more audible. What is he saying? Is he now saying Manat, saying Uzza? They heard that he was still saying Ahad. People were pleading with Umayyah, like Abu Bakr, that Umayyah should sell off Bilal. Since he's no more useful, Umayyah insisted, until the point that he saw that Bilal was completely broken and was just a thin line close to death. Instead of him losing out completely, then he said he was ready to sell off Bilal. And Abu Bakr told him, mention your price. He didn't even tell him that, no, I can't buy this anymore. He said, mention your price. And he mentioned an exorbitant amount of money. If I'm not mistaken, I think 7 uqiyah, 7 to 10 uqiyah. He mentioned it. And Abu Bakr gave him right immediately. He did that just for him to cash out from the situation. He didn't want to lose out completely. And Bilal remained firm, remained steadfast, and never changed his statement of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was in his honor that the Battle of Badr was named Ahad, the Battle of Oneness.
Allah Akbar. Now, alhamdulillah, I mean, jazakumullah khairan for, that summary, an abridged, summary of the adversity of Bilal bin Rabah. Now, many Muslims out there, probably for those who know about Bilal, they know him as the first mu'adhin, that is the first caller to prayer, chosen by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what unique qualities did Bilal possess that earned him this distinguished role
and what those these teach us about true leadership in Islam.
One of the major quality of Bilal was his strong faith in Allah. That's the major one. His tawheed, belief in Islamic monotheism, was very strong. And for someone to call to the way of Allah, you must believe in what you are calling towards.
Absolutely.
You must believe in it and be so resolute about it. Not that you are having doubts regarding what you are calling people to do. The more you are convinced about it, the more resolved you would be in the calling. Bilal wasn't the one that dreamt. He wasn't the one that dreamt about call to prayer. Someone else dreamt about it. And some other people too dreamt before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also saw it in the dream, and Allah confirmed it. Then Nabiullah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called on Bilal. The issue of voice of Bilal was is a secondary, in fact, tertiary quality. It's a tertiary quality. The very first quality of Bilal is his sound belief in the oneness of Allah. And so resolute about the fact that he would remain steadfast to the worship of Allah till he dies. And also, Bilal was so trustworthy. He was so trustworthy and so time conscious. He doesn't joke with time consciousness. When he makes promise of something regarding time, he keeps to it as dear as he could. So, and all these qualities are very key in terms of the worship of Allah. Very, very key. And don't forget that Salah itself is even teaching us leadership in its entirety. It's teaching us leadership, teaching us followership, leadership and followership. And look at the Mu'adhin. The Mu'adhin will be the one to make us, that is the caller to prayer, will be the one to make us know that it is time for us to observe our Salah. If we are not, if care is not taken, if the Mu'adhin is being carried away, a whole lot of people might forget about the time of Salah, not even at the time where there was nothing like, it's 2 o'clock now, it's 3 o'clock now. Are you with me? So it's not easy for you to say, what's the time now? It's also time, but you ought to have called. So the Mu'adhin ought to be somebody very strong and resolute regarding what he's doing, and so convinced about it, and does not joke with time consciousness and promises. These are things that we have lost in the amongst we Muslims today. We don't value time. We don't take time so dear to us. You know, we start talking about African timing. Bilal was.
Hello, Imam. Oh, seems to be having a glitch there. So we're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM.
An African.
All right. So we
Bilal was an African
there, Imam,
and he didn't joke because Islam teaches us to be steadfast on timing.
So there is nothing African in time wasting or failing to meet up with time, right?
Exactly. I said there is nothing African in time, in delay of time. It's nothing but indiscipline. Bilal was an African, and he was so conscious of time. He was a strong time manager, and he didn't joke with that. And we need to emulate this beautiful quality in Bilal ibn Rabah.
All right, now, so we know quite well that based on even the story that you relayed, Bilal was actually a slave, and so now, despite his background as a slave, his faith made him one of the most beloved figures in Islamic history. So what do you think attracted him to Islam so deeply, and how did his faith transform his life?
Three things attracted Bilal dearly to Islam. Number one, worship of one God. Bilal detested worship of multiple gods, because the worship of multiple gods was the cause of the problems, social vices they had in their community then. So he was so strong about changing the root cause. And what's the root cause? Worshipping multiple gods. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about worshipping one true God, it attracted the attention of Bilal.
Okay.
And look at it, Bilal was not the type in the circle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he was a slave. He was far, far, far away from the circle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he knew him to be Al-Amin, the trustworthy. But when he heard the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through some other means, he believed in it. And also, he got attracted to Islam because Islam prohibited and detested oppression.
The justice of Islam.
So, injustice was predominant then.
Uh-huh.
It prevailed in the society. And there was nothing they could just do about it. It happens. There's nothing you could do. And also, the issue of the wide gap between the rich and the poor.
Uh-huh.
The wide gap between the rich and the poor. The poor was as if they had no life.
Uh-huh.
And the rich was as if the entire world belonged to them. And the poor could be used whichever way they felt. And hearing that, there's a message that says that, no, there is no difference between the rich and the poor. There's no difference between a slave and a freeborn. There's no difference between a king and this and that, you know. We are all equal before the sight of Allah. In the sight of Allah, we are all equal before Allah. The difference amongst us is what? Our iman, as Allah stated in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat, that ya ayyuhan nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah said that, O mankind, we created you from a single man and a single woman, and we made you nations and tribes, not for racism, not for nepotism, not for favoritism, and not for whatever form of social vices. It is only for recognition. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The best, your honor lies in your piety before Allah. You want to be pious, you want to be honored before Allah, then increase your piety. The more pious you are, the more honored you are before Allah. Not your color and not your body size.
All right. Okay. Now, looking at the fact that, you know, still on this, you know, whether, you know, one is a slave or not, and from the fact that, you know, Bilal was, you know, grew up, you know, as a slave. Now, so how did, you know, Bilal's role and example challenge the norms around race and status in early Islamic society? Because we know quite well, even for those that accepted Islam then, because they grew up in a society where oppression was rife and this, you know, racism was also there. So how did Bilal's role and example challenge these norms and, you know, around race and status in early Islamic society? And what can we learn from this today about racial equality and inclusivity?
Like I said, what attracted, it was not because of Bilal, Islam abolished racism, or what's it called, nepotism, favoritism, all these things, discriminal forms of discrimination. Islam did not abolish it because of Bilal. Bilal even saw it in Islam that, oh, this is what Islam stands for, and got him attracted.
Okay.
Now, when he accepted Islam, the presence of Bilal, the likes of Bilal, the likes of Khabab, and the others like that, that's another interesting slave that might be treated later if you consider that.
Inshallah. That's noted.
So we have a whole lot of them like that were slaves that the elites, so-called elites, and the affluent ones in Mecca then were not happy seeing them in Islam, and they considering accepting Islam. They told Abu Talib categorically, that's the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we are not listening to your nephew.
Your nephew.
Because, not because the message he brought is not good, but because we don't like those around him. We cannot sit and have those people sit with us. It's not possible. They now said that if Muhammad wants to talk to us...
Yeah, Imam, did they find it condescending to sit with their slaves, or their former slaves, if permitted to use that word?
Exactly. They are former slaves. How can we sit down and have this one sit with us? It is disrespectful.
Wow.
You know? Mm-hmm. What kind of religion do we say we are practicing? They now gave Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a condition. If you want to talk to us, you want to come talk to us, then don't come with Bilal. Don't come with Khabab. They mentioned like 7 of them.
Wow.
That were slaves. That you must not, if you come with them, we will not listen to you. And the Prophet was considering, okay, is for us to gain them into the deen? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from above the heavens sent a verse to negate this. Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not turn your eyes away from those that are calling upon Allah both night and day, seeking Allah's pleasure, seeking the face of Allah, seeking the mercy of Allah, because you want to gain some other people to Islam. You must not turn your eyes away from those people. Allah was referring to Bilal and the likes.
Allahu Akbar.
When Bilal heard of this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this verse in respect of him to defend his honor and the likes, he was so happy and had his mind so firm in Islam the more.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Well, we have a lot to learn. So this idea that after all, these are my slaves, or even these are my maids and things like that, it dare not be seen with my children, or some of the things that a lot of parents, you know, come up with today. So it means that if they are people of faith, then they must remove all these, you know, parochial or primordial sentiments, which probably beclouds their minds and their judgments in relating with others. All right, good. Alhamdulillah, brother. So now, so apart from bringing a mu'adhin, a caller to prayer, so what other contributions did Bilal make to the spread of Islam that probably a lot of people, even including Muslims, might be unaware of?
Bilal was a warrior.
Allahu Akbar.
A fearless warrior. He feared no one. Though easygoing, but he laid his life for Allah. He was ready to do anything for the sake of Allah. There was no battle the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought behind Bilal. There was no single battle that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought behind Bilal. That was how close they were.
So he participated in all battles of the Prophet.
In all the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no time Bilal was doubted that is he part of the munafiqun, you know, part of the hypocrites, then or not. He was never doubted. His faith was never doubted. He was always with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a strong warrior and never ran away from war, both in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and after the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was a very strong contribution of Bilal. During his lifetime, he contributed so much to the victory of Islam, both physically and in battles.
All right. Okay, so for African Muslims today, Bilal represents a powerful symbol of resilience and identity. So how do you think his story contributes to a deeper sense of pride and purpose, for Muslims of African heritage? It should be something that, for those of us that are African, celebrate after all, at least we have someone represented in the companionship of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, someone of, you know, African origin, someone of black race and things like that. Should it be all that, or what exactly should it be?
I think the story and success of Bilal is beyond Africa.
So we should not be. It's not about ownership.
It's not about ownership of it. Okay. You know, because if we start setting in the fact that the land was an African, and you know, it shows we Africans too, we might be going against what Bilal himself stood for.
Stood for Allah Akbar.
And we might be going against what actually
Islam
hurt Bilal so much during his lifetime before he became a Muslim.
Allah Akbar.
Because he hated racism and he hated an imbalanced system. System where someone will not be free, system where rights will be usurped, and nothing anyone can do about it. You know, Bilal hated with passion any system of such. So Bilal is a pride, yes, to we Africans, because yes, you know, when a father sees his son doing something good, he'll be proud to say that this is my son. But not to say, he's not saying this is my son because he's trying to be, you know, nepotic, or, you know, trying to show racism, but trying to be proud, he's being proud of the success of that individual and trying to say that this person is from me and is of me. So we are proud to say that Bilal is of us and is from us. But we are proud to say that Bilal is a success to all Muslims in the world. He's a great mentor to all Muslims in the world.
All right.
In fact, something happened during the time of Bilal. I don't know if your question covers it. I might respond to that. If not, I might just keep it in along the line.
All right. Okay. All right. Inshallah. So, all right. We'll go on a quick break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us.
Selfish and sacrificed everything you risked to change life. Even when there was darkness, you broke the shackles and brought light. You called everyone to believe in Allah. Oh Muhammad, you are my hero. You smiled with serenity, and how you forgave all your enemies. I will always hold your love and all your teachings in my heart. You called everyone to believe in Allah. Oh Muhammad, you are my hero.
You are my hero. That's Harris J. All right. So today, inshallah, you are still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. Today, we are looking at Islamic heroes from Africa with a focus on Bilal ibn Rabah, the first Muezzin of Islam. And our guest discussant is Imam Abu Labiba Tawfiq Busari, who is an imam and director of Darus Sa'ida Islamic Center, Otah, Ogun State, the Quran tutor of the University, Christian University at Belkuta, Ogun State. So, Imam, it's a pleasure to still have you with us. And for our listeners, you can be part of this program by calling the numbers 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917. Our toll-free line for women is 0800-235-917, 0800-235-917. And you can send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 070-317-565-37. I'll take that again, 070-317-565-37. That's the number to send your message via SMS or WhatsApp. So number to call exactly is 07000-917-917. And for our women, we are hoping that women will call on this show
because it's actually the Women Radio, 0800-235-917. All right. So, Imam, we are talking about Bilal bin Rabah. Now, Bilal's loyalty, let's go to his loyalty. His loyalty to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his commitment to Islam were unwavering, like you have said, participated in all battles of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what lessons can we draw from this loyalty, especially for navigating the complexities and challenges of modern life?
Loyalty of Bilal cannot be overemphasized. And I think at this point I can come in with that thing I wanted to say.
Okay.
Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him.
Allahumma ameen.
When the Prophet died, when the Prophet died, Bilal couldn't bear it staying in Medina.
All right, yeah, Imam, we have a call. We have a call on the line. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Please, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Yunus Rakis, R-A-K-I-S, Yunus Rakis.
Okay.
R-A-K-I-S. My question is that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, in fact, he has moved us, we being the Muslim, at least give us more effort to continue in Islam much, because we have here and we have from the verses, inshallah, being in Africa to fight for Islam like that, inshallah, it makes us contribute a lot to it.
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. I'm listening to your program and it impresses me much.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah reward all of you there over there in the radio station.
Amen.
May Allah keep us we Islam to have one mind. And we should do well, inshallah.
Inshallah, Allahumma amin. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much.
Please,
where did you call from exactly?
I'm calling from Ikorodu. I'm calling from Hassan Yunus.
Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much from Ikorodu. All right. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right, so yeah, Imam, you were trying to talk about the loyalty of Bilal, that when the Prophet died,
exactly,
he could not bear the loss.
He could not bear the loss being in Medina without seeing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was like a lacuna, you know, an imbalanced thing. It's not complete. I feel not complete. I'll call to prayer and the Prophet will not come out.
Wow.
So he now went to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, who was the Khalifa. As at then. He said, "Oh Abu Bakr, please kindly release me to spread the message of Al-Islam. Let me spread the message of Al-Islam and go elsewhere to take the message to people." Abu Bakr said, "We need you more in Medina than elsewhere." He insisted that he needed to go. Abu Bakr too insisted that he is needed more in Medina. He now said that, "Oh Abu Bakr, if you bought me out of slavery for me to serve you, then keep me here in Medina.
Allah,
I will serve
Allah.
You. But if you bought me out of slavery for the sake of Allah, allow me go to spread the message of Allah. Subhanallah."
Allah Akbar.
Abu Bakr was dumbfounded. He couldn't speak. He was speechless. Because he bought him for the sake of Allah. And he saying that he should not go was not because he wanted to personify him, you know, or, you know, make him work for him, but for Islam too. So he had to let him go. After a while, Bilal came visiting. He saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his dream. And he felt that, it seems I've been so far away
from
the city of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he came back visited. In fact, with the mind that he would probably stay there with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, when I say stay with the Prophet, Prophet was buried in Medina, so he would be there in the city of the Prophet. When Bilal came, who dares call to prayer when Bilal is around?
Allahu Akbar.
Who would have that melodious and accepted adhan when Bilal is there? So no one called to prayer. Bilal was asked to call to prayer. When he called to prayer, the entire Medina was shaking of tears. People were crying, weeping, because all they expected was that for Bilal to just stop that adhan and they see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his usual way come out of his room, of his house, to come lead salah. And that was when they all felt that truly the Prophet was no more. That was the level of loyalty of Bilal to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this teaches us a whole lot of lessons. We need to be loyal to our leaders. We need to be loyal. We must not be betray the trust of our leaders. We must not betray the trust of our leaders. We must pray for them, stand by them. Leadership is not something easy. A leader requires people around him to guide him. If you are unable to get close to the leader, the best you could do is to pray for the leader. One of the past predecessors said that if I'm being given an opportunity to make a dua that will be accepted by Allah, he said, that dua, I would make it for the leader. I would rather make it for the leader, because once I make it for the leader and the leader is successful, then the success would go around every one of us.
Allah.
But when the leader goes wrong, that wrong will go around every one of us. So we should imbibe the culture of praying for our leaders, being loyal followers, loyal citizens, rather than being the other way around. May Allah guide us aright.
Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ameen. I love the fact that you mentioned that, because you know, for a lot of time, because I still feel like we have leaders who are really are not concerned about the well-being of the followers. So, you know, that begs the question that should we still actually maintain our loyalty to them for the fact that they are not doing what is right?
You know what the Prophet said about that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, give to them what is due of them. Of their trust, the trust they deserve, the loyalty they deserve. All that is required of you as a follower, give to them. And the companions asked, how about our own rights? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ask your rights from Allah. If they deny you of your rights, after you give them what is due of them, then ask of yours from Allah. Allah knows how best to bring it to you. Either by taking the person away and bringing somebody better. Whichever way, Allah knows how to bring your rights down to you. Just ask Allah for yours and give them what is due of them. Because it will be a double case. You facing trials before Allah, that you deny the leader of his rights, you betrayed your leader, you betrayed the trust of your leader. How do you face this? Because Allah did not say that it's when they give to you, you give to them.
All right. Okay. Good. Jazakumullah khair. I love you know, that, because it's something that we truly need at this point in time. So the program is still Everyday Muslim on 91.7 Women Radio, and the number we are listening, the program is Everyday Muslim, and you can be a part of the discuss by calling the number 07000-917-917. Or the toll-free line for our women, 0800-1235-917. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp, 070-317-56537. That is 070-317-56537. That's the number to send your message via SMS or WhatsApp. So we are taking a look at Islamic heroes from Africa, Bilal bin Rabah, and Focus. And the discussant is Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari. So Imam, now, the life of Bilal bin Rabah is often seen as a message of spiritual strength and dignity. So what do you believe his legacy can teach Muslims today? And, everyone generally about maintaining faith in the face of, oppression and hardship. You know quite well that the world today, there is a lot of oppression, there is a lot of hardship. So what legacy of Bilal, can we learn
with which we are able to, you know, navigate some of these complexities and challenges that we are facing today, that of oppression and, you know, hardship.
Bilal became successful. And may Allah make us successful too.
Allahumma ameen.
Bilal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something about Bilal. He said, Bilal, I just even remember now. Bilal, what is it that you are doing that I can hear your footstep ahead of me in Jannah?
Allah.
I can hear your footsteps ahead of me in Jannah. What is it that you're doing, Bilal? Bilal said, I would not perform ablution. There's nothing I do except that what I know is that whenever I perform ablution, I will observe 2 raka'ah after every ablution. I will observe 2 raka'ah after every ablution.
Sunnatul wudu.
Sunnatul wudu, exactly. Bilal became successful because of his strong faith in Allah. For us to be successful like Bilal, our tawheed, our belief in Islamic monotheism must be strong, unshakable. Nothing must shake it. It must remain resolute. We must stand firm against oppression and never oppress people. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he made oppression forbidden for himself. وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا And I made it forbidden amongst you all. فَلَا تَظُلَمُوا Don't oppress anyone. Don't oppress anyone. You stand up against oppression. In all forms. Don't allow anybody around you to be oppressed. And you don't be an oppressor. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْصُرْ أَخَاكَ ظَالِمًا أَوْ مَظْلُومًا Assist your brother that is an oppressor and assist your brother that is oppressed. The companion said, we understand assisting the oppressed. How are we going to assist the oppressor? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you assist the oppressor by preventing him from doing, carrying on with his oppression. Whatever that he is doing to carry on with his, to do his oppression, then you block it off from him. Prevent him from carrying on with his oppression.
All right.
And that is assisting the oppressor.
Okay.
You must assist both the oppressor and the oppressed, just like Bilal ibn Rabah.
Okay. All right. Now, so because we're looking at Bilal, so how can we as you know, a global Muslim community ensure that his legacy continues to inspire and empower future generations? Because for a lot of people, especially today's generation, we're disconnected from our past and from these heroes. So how can we continue to ensure that his legacy, you know, lives on forever and continues to inspire and empower future generations?
His legacy and the legacies of other pious predecessors will continue if we continue to teach people about them. Let's keep teaching people about, it's not about telling them about footballers, telling them about, you know, all these music stars, music this and that. These are not our heroes. They don't have anything to, you know, to impact positively in our lives. We have heroes that right from childhood, let's be telling our children the stories of these heroes. The prophets of God. Story of Nabiullah Muhammad himself. Stories of his companions. Let's serialize it. Keep telling children. When we have times at night, it's not for us to watch movies. Create good memories in your homes. Sit together. Tell them stories about these heroes of ours. Bilal inclusive. It will imbibe that, you know, their legacies in them. It will make them understand who these people are. Even the young babies. There's this culture that is always preached or advised that you read to a baby every night. Oh. You read to them before they go to bed. Read to them. What are you to read to them? Read to them the stories of companions.
Okay.
Stories of Aisha.
Uh-huh.
Stories of the story of Khadija. Oh. The story of Abu Bakr. The story of Umar. Oh. They grow up to love them.
Oh.
They grow up to act like them.
Uh-huh.
They grow up to emulate them.
Uh-huh.
Because these are people they grew up to know.
Uh-huh.
And they grew up in the right cycle, in the right network, as expected.
Uh-huh. All right. Jazakumullah khair. Including even naming our children after some of these heroes.
Exactly. Naming them.
Uh-huh. All right. Good. All right. Now, so we are trying to, we are rounding off now. So, on a final note, if there is one timeless message from Bilal's life that you feel Muslims around the world should carry on with them, what would that be?
Allahu Ahad.
Hmm.
That's the message of Bilal.
Hmm.
Allahu Ahad. Allah is one.
Hmm.
That is the greatest of all messages. Hmm. Any other message will come after, will come behind this.
Hmm.
Allahu Ahad. He never hid it at every time. He acted it, even to the point at which he could have died.
Hmm.
He stood firm on Allahu
Ahad.
Allahu Ahad. And Allah said, Qul huwa Allahu
Ahad.
Say, Allah is one. And Bilal kept saying, Allahu
Ahad.
So let's all say wherever we go, Allahu Ahad.
All right.
Don't let us be afraid.
Imam, please. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm the person who calls from Ifo. Okay. Before you come to your round of
yes.
I need prayer from the Imam.
Okay.
All right. I am on fasting, asking Allah to give me some things because I have none, but I need the Imam to pray for me.
All right, thank you very much.
Allah.
Wa alaikum. So yeah, Imam,
yes,
he's requesting a prayer.
Yeah.
So he's requesting a prayer for him, Malam Yunus from Ikorodu, who called in. So he wants you to also pray for him as we are rounding up the program. Please, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
May Allah accept your dua and keep you steadfast upon His way.
Ameen.
May Allah grant you His pleasure both in this world and the hereafter.
Allahumma ameen. All right, so you are telling us that Bilal, you know, the one.
Yes, I said Allahu
Ahad, the oneness of Allah. So we should.
So we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be shy.
Hmm.
We shouldn't show, feel inferior about the message. Wherever we go, let's go along with it.
Hmm.
Allahu Ahad. You know, those doing evil are not scared of doing evil.
Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't be scared of doing the right thing and saying the right thing. Let's say it to the world. Let's imprint it anywhere we can. We have the opportunity. Allahu Ahad. That's the symbol of Bilal. And he stood by this till he died.
Allahumma. Allahu Akbar. All right. Jazakumullah khairan. Imam, it's been a pleasure, listening to you talk to us about the life of Bilal bin Rabah, one of the companions, one of the heroes of Islam. Has African descent, and for which a lot of us, we can connect with, and not just about with his, heritage, his, racial heritage now, but about his spiritual heritage, his connection to Islam, his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his loyalty to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam till he died. And the everlasting message, which is that message of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which, resonated all through the lives of, Bilal. It's a pleasure listening to you. Jazakumullah khairan. We appreciate you for, the knowledge that you have, inspired and you have shared with us today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you abundantly. And to all our listeners, to all our callers, and to all those who probably wish to be able to call or send a message, Jazakumullah khairan. We can't do this without you. And we are only able to do this because we know you're there. And we appreciate you for listening. Jazakumullah khairan to everyone. So, and for you
out there, you can listen again to this episode or other previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org, mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the MPAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. You can also follow Everyday Muslim on social media. Our Facebook is Everyday space Muslim, Everyday Muslim on Facebook. Instagram, Everyday Muslim 01, as a single word, Everyday Muslim 01 on Instagram. Inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airwaves next week, Bikudratillah, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7, the voice of women. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Like a brand new story with unwritten lines, and no matter